Let's turn in the Word of God to the book of Revelation and chapter 17. In Revelation chapter 17, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. The whole chapter. Revelation 17. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. They are His, they are infallible. They cannot err. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And then he said to me, "The waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth." Those are the words of the Lord. Remember the last chapter in chapter 16 of the seven bowls of wrath being poured upon the wicked and Antichrist. And here again we have another representation of those things that had been before revealed, and the wickedness and ruin of the Antichrist, but in a different picture given to us. That the Antichrist, which we believe is the Pope of Rome, had described before as a beast. We saw a bit of that in the last chapter, but now is described as the great whore, the mother of harlots or prostitutes. And John is invited to see her in verses 1 through 2. How she appeared in verses 3 through 6, and she's explained with more clarity through verse 12, and even teaches us some things about or which are true of the Antichrist, and which do fit the Pope of Rome. And then the rest of the chapter is the end of the woman and that Antichrist foretold and guaranteed to us that victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Again and again, especially at the end of this book of Revelation, reminding us over and again of the victory that we have as the church. We have in union with Christ over our enemies. Christ is victorious, and so we are victorious in union with Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we could, of course, go into great depth of the things that are found here. And like the seven mountains, which are seven kingdoms, of which we know that Rome sits upon. And even how all nations listen to the Antichrist and many other things. Father, we ask that we would focus our attention mostly upon your Son, Jesus Christ, because He is our hope to be delivered from all of our enemies, not just the Antichrist, but all of our enemies. Not only of sin, which was accomplished at the cross, but even the destruction of all our, the enemies of the church, which are defeated and continually consumed through the preaching and promotion of your gospel as more and more people are brought into the church, as we heard this morning. Father, we are thankful for how you have blessed us, how you have given to us answers to prayer. You've healed many people that we've been praying for. We're thankful that again, Patty is feeling better, and thankful that Phil and Julie and Mark are here this evening, and that you are healing bodies. We're thankful for this, and pray for continue to pray for Patty and April Watson and Patricia and others, Father, who are not feeling well or are struggling in their bodies. But again, we pray also for our hearts, our minds that are struggling spiritually to follow after you. We are like Paul in Romans 7, doing those things that we ought not, that we don't want to do, and the opposite as well. And Father, we ask that you would turn our hearts unto you. You would sanctify us by your Holy Spirit and the Word. That you would not allow us to quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit, but submit to all of His leanings as we are taught through the Scriptures. Father, may we be submissive to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne in all things, that all of our allegiance would be in Christ and Christ alone. And Father, we're thankful for our families, our marriages that point us to the reality of Christ in the church, and how we ought to image Christ in the church in our marriages. We pray that you would sanctify us then and give husbands the energy and strength to sanctify the wives through the Word, and even to do so with our children, and raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We're thankful that you receive all of our prayers, because you and your Son live to make intercession for us. And we're thankful for His sake that you are answering our prayers, perfecting our prayers, and answering them according to your will. We would ask that you would bring sin and Satan to destruction, that you would bring an end to the Antichrist and consume him and that papal office. We pray that you would bring an end to the destruction to your church and the leading astray and the false teaching that is happening within your bride, and that you would make her holy as the bridegroom. That as we sin and we sit on the bed and just having bathed and gotten dressed, as the Song of Solomon teaches us, may we not be so sinful as Christ calling us and wanting us to come to the door, sticking his hand through the door. May we be those who get up, who get our feet dirty, and walk to him and seek after him and commune with him in all the ways you've given us to commune with your Son, Jesus Christ, even especially the means of grace, the word, the sacraments, and prayer. Father, help us, for we are weak. We ask that you would bring us more families for your glory, that we would, as we look in hope for the future, that you would make us a people who are able, by your blessing and growth of your church, to plant another church and another church, that we might be those who are sending forth the gospel and preaching it and telling people and calling sinners to repentance, and people would come in, that you would save them by your Holy Spirit and word, and you would grow your church and grow your kingdom throughout the earth, that we would be able here to support missionaries and our presbytery and synod, and give you praise how other churches have been able to do that in our denomination and supported the work in Chile that we prayed about this morning, and how you've blessed them and brought members into their congregation and celebrated baptism and the Lord's Supper for the first time again, and we're thankful for them and how you have used your church to bring blessing to them there in that nation. We pray that in that nation that all would bow the knee to Christ your Son, as we pray here that all would bow the knee to Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, again, we do ask for your blessing upon the church plant in Oklahoma City. You would bring that about at the right time and bring a church planter. We ask that you'd be with the few families in Houston who desire to be a church plant. And we ask that you'd bring more families and establish them there, as well as the congregation in San Antonio, which have just a few families worshiping there. We ask that you would build them up and encourage them in Christ to remain faithful and to proclaim the gospel, that many would come in. You would provide more families, more children, more who are professing faith in Christ and living that faith out in their lives. That's what we pray for here, and we pray in the many churches throughout the world that bear your name and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen.